Good. Let's pray and commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to give us attentive hearts. Lord God, focus our minds, we pray, on that which you would have us at this point, that we can learn how to be more effective in evangelism in our communities and on university campuses. Give us, we pray, Lord God, sharp minds, good recollection, and help us, Lord God, to understand the lessons that we need to communicate to others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Frequently, when you're involved in evangelism in any situation, you will get some people who will try to use their revisionist history on you. You will have people saying, and I've had this multiple times on radio talk shows, in government and in parliament, I've had all kinds of people from Carl Niehaus and others try and use this on me. And what I'm going to give you now is an effective judo throw to take this attack against Christianity, to take the momentum that the pagans are using and use it against them and use it for the benefit of the gospel. Frequently, when you're involved in evangelism, people will say more evil has been done in the name of religion than anything else, or more people have been killed in wars of religion than any others, and so on. And they'll try to suggest that religion, obviously by inference primarily Christianity, is the worst thing, the most dangerous thing, the most evil thing, the most destructive thing possible. How many of you have heard that kind of argument at some stage somewhere? Okay, most everyone. Well, my answer is this. The greatest killer in all of history has been humanism. The 20th century has been the bloodiest century in all of history. And humanism has proved to be the most destructive religion of all times. So if they want to say more people have been killed in the name of religion, I'd say, true, if you accept that humanism is a religion. Far more people have been killed in the name of atheism than by all other religions combined. So, okay, if you want to accept atheism and humanism as a religion, we can accept your principle that more people have been killed in religion's name than any other. But let's have a look at the facts. Historian Paul Johnson has observed that the 20th century state has proved itself to be the greatest killer of all time. The 20th century has seen the worst atrocities ever committed. The word genocide, a new term coined in the 20th century, describes what has occurred repeatedly in secular human states, which at first disarmed their populations. Darwinian evolutionism, with its survival of the fittest ideology, has devalued human life. If man is not created in the image of God, and if there is no God in heaven who will judge the living and the dead, if there's no objective standards of right and wrong, then life becomes cheap. When you devalue God, you devalue life. What are people, according to atheists, who believe in evolution? They are a hairless ape, a mere insect, an ant, an accidental twig. This is what humanists have said. A rope stretched over an abyss, said Nietzsche, a fungus on the surface of one of the minor planets. So that's what people are in the mind of humanists. A jest, a dream, a show, bubble, air. And Oliver Wendell Holmes, a top humanist, said, I see no reason for attributing to man a significant difference in kind from that which belongs to a grain of sand. No more value in your life than a grain of sand. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. When atheism takes hold of a society, moral relativism becomes inevitable. Nothing is sacred. There is no objective standard of right and wrong, no God, no eternal day of judgment, no hope of eternal justice. The earth becomes cheap. As the existentialist writer Jean-Paul Sartre explained, without God, all activities are equivalent. Thus, it amounts to the same thing whether one gets drunk alone or is a leader of nations. Because what's the purpose? You came from nothing, you're going nowhere, life is meaningless. Historian Paul Johnson commented on the advance of atheism in modern history. Nietzsche wrote in 1886, the greatest event of modern times, that God is dead, that the belief in a Christian God is no longer tenable, is beginning to cast its first shadows over Europe. You see, Europe went through a crisis of conscience, a crisis of faith, a crisis of ideology in the latter part of the 1800s. And the 20th century has seen the fruit of that ideological move. Ultimately, the collapse of the religious impulse would leave a huge vacuum. The history of modern times is in great part the history of how that vacuum's been filled. So, nature abhors a vacuum. When Christianity receded in the public mind and the public sphere, then what filled it was humanism, atheism, communism. As Dr. James Kendi in What If Jesus Had Never Been Born observes, that vacuum has been filled with a totalitarian state, the loss of freedom for millions, the concentration camp, the gulag, the rise of abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, and suicide, crime out of all proportions, and the most savage wars in the history of the world. The triumph of secular humanism with its atheism, its evolutionism, its situation ethics, has led to the rise of gangster statesmen like Vladimir Lenin and Joseph Stalin, Mao Tse-tung, Fidel Castro, Pol Pot, Robert Mugabe, and many other tyrants like them. At least 180 million people have been killed by secular governments in the 20th century, and that's a very conservative estimate. We're not here talking about people who have died in wars caused by secular human states, because that would massively increase the body count. No, over 180 million people have been killed by their own secular governments in the 20th century. The greatest threat to life in the 20th century was not firearm accidents or crime or even wars. More people were killed by their own governments in peacetime than were ever killed by foreign invaders in wartime in the 20th century. Think about that. Dr. David Barrett, the editor of the massive World Christian Encyclopedia and the author of Cosmos, Chaos, and the Gospel, and Our Globe and How to Reach It, he has documented that the Soviet dictator, Joseph Stalin, was responsible for killing over 40 million people. Joseph Stalin closed down 48,000 churches and attempted the liquidation of the entire Christian church in the Soviet Union. Similarly, communist dictator Mao Tse-tung in China launched the Great Proletarian Revolution, history's most systematic attempt ever by a single nation to eradicate and destroy Christianity. Millions died in this. Mao Tse-tung was responsible for killing about 72 million people in Red China. He's in the Guinness Book of Records as the greatest mass murderer in all of history. The communist take of Cambodia in 1975 resulted in the death of up to 3 million people, a full third of the population. When we add to these the death tolls of communist regimes in Korea, Vietnam, Laos, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Angola, Mozambique, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Cuba, and Zimbabwe, the body count is staggering. As Dostoevsky so eloquently put it, if God is dead, then all things are possible. The terrifying thing about the secular humanist states is that there's no authority above them, above the state, to which you can make an appeal. The concept of inalienable rights endowed by a creator are, of course, impossible in a secular humanist state. If the state itself is the highest authority, then there's no limit to the abuses and the oppression that unrestrained human nature is capable of. The humanist state inevitably leads to tyranny and to despotism. The publication of the Black Book of Communism created a sensation. First published in French and later translated into English, the Black Book is a scholarly, detailed account of the crimes of communism, starting with the Russian Revolution and continuing through Eastern Europe, Red China, North Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, Ethiopia, Mozambique, Angola, and Afghanistan. At almost 900 pages long, the Black Book's exhaustive indictment of communism is all the more compelling because all six of its authors were once communists. They are researchers, professors, journalists associated with the Paris-based Center for the Study of History and Science and Sociology of Communism. The editor of the Black Book of Communism, Stéphane Cortez, is also the editor of the Communisme magazine in France. As the foreword declares, 10 years ago, the authors of the Black Book would have refused to believe what they now write. However, the exploration of the Soviet archives forced them out of a duty of remembrance to the millions of victims murdered under Marxist regimes to spare a little compassion for the victims of the inhumanity so long meted out by so many of their own partisans. Their intention was that the Black Book serve as both a history and as a memorial to those victims whose very memory had been wiped out. In his introduction, Stéphane Cortez declares, "The fact remains that our century has outdone its predecessors in its bloodthirstiness. Indeed, communism occupies one of the most violent and most significant places of all. The Black Book indicts the Soviet Union's communist leaders with the following crimes, amongst many others. The execution without trial of tens of thousands of hostages and prisoners, and the murder of hundreds of thousands of workers and peasants in Russia from 1918 to 1922 under Vladimir Lenin. Deliberately destroying all the food and crops so as to starve to death 5 million people in Russia in 1922. The extermination of the Cossacks, an entire group of people, in 1920. The liquidation of 690,000 people in the Great Purge of 1937 to 1938. The destruction of 4 million Ukrainians and 2 million other peoples in a man-made and systematically perpetrated de-kulakization famine of 1932 to 33, the so-called land reform of Ukraine, which Mugabe is trying to emulate in Zimbabwe to this day. The Black Book presents a very conservative estimate of the number of civilians murdered by Marxist regimes based on the Marxist regime's own records. So they're only using the communists' own archives here. 20 million killed in the Soviet Union, 65 million in Red China, 1 million in Vietnam, 2 million in North Korea, 2 million in Cambodia, 1.5 million in Afghanistan, and so on. Now, these statistics are not totally accurate. They all are about a half to a third less than what they should be, but they're just taking from what can be proven from the communists' own archives. That's what makes the Black Book of Communism so significant. It's all based on the communists' own records. Not that they were always honest in their records. They normally killed more people than they admitted to. The Black Book of Communism documents that according to the communist regime's own records, the total death toll is at least 100 million people killed by communist governments between 1917 and 1991. These crimes tend to fit a recognizable pattern, I'm quoting from the book here, including, the pattern includes execution by firing squads, hanging, drowning, battering, and in certain cases, gassing, poisoning, or car accidents, destruction of the population by starvation, through man-made famine, the withholding of food, or both. Deportation, through which death could occur in transit, either through physical exhaustion, or through confinement in an enclosed space, through forced labor, exhaustion, illness, coldness, and hunger. Thus, in the name of an ideological system, were tens of millions of innocent victims systematically butchered. The foreword of the Black Book declares, communism has been the great story of the 20th century, bursting into history from the most unlikely corner of Europe amidst the trauma of World War I. In the wake of the cataclysm of 1939 to 1945, it made a gigantic leap westwards and an even greater one eastwards to the China Seas. With this feat, communism came to rule one third of mankind. It seemed poised to advance indefinitely. For 7 decades, it haunted world politics, polarizing world opinion between those who saw it as the socialist end of history and those who consider it as history's most total tyranny. With socialist fables of their workers' paradises now consigned to what Trotsky called the ash heap of the history, the garbage heap, it now has to be admitted that the secular humanist state has been a tragedy of planetary dimensions. The communist record offers the most colossal case of political carnage in history. As the Black Book documents, communist states did not merely commit criminal acts. They were criminal enterprises in their very essence, on principle, so to speak. They ruled lawlessly by violence without regard to human life. What is also remarkable is that these atrocities were committed by regimes which claimed that they were building a workers' paradise, heaven on earth. However, rather than delivering paradise, all communism succeeded in creating was hell on earth. They promised them freedom while they themselves are the slaves of depravity. 2 Peter 2:19. There is a danger that as we list the statistics and read the mind-numbing numbers of the victims of secular states, we can be hardened. As Joseph Stalin observed, the death of one person is a tragedy, but the death of millions is just a statistic. That was Stalin's words. Just a statistic. But we need to remind ourselves that these were real people and whole families that were maimed, mutilated, and murdered. If we were to add to the number of those victims murdered by their own governments in the 20th century, the pre-born babies who have been killed by abortion, and those old and sick people who've been killed by euthanasia in secular states, the death toll would approach 1 billion people. That's 1,000 million victims killed by secular humanist states in the 20th century alone. Romans 3 tells us there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, not one who seeks God. All have turned away. They've altogether become worthless. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. As James Kennedy observed in What If Jesus Had Never Been Born, the 20th century is one of mass murder, genocide, institutionalized terrorism, the fruits of that phantom faith in the secular state that persists in promising liberation even as it attacks the most fundamental human attachments. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are vile. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does what is good. The bitter harvest of atheism proves that humanism is the most destructive religion in all of history. The secular state is the greatest killer ever, and secular states have made the 20th century the bloodiest century of all time. Now, I've taken these from What If Jesus Had Never Been Born. We've got this presentation in a CD format, which has got the whole PowerPoint, and it's got the message of on audio, of course, as well. You'll also find on our website, you'll get on the frontline.org.za website, this article if you want to download it and print it. I've drawn on heavily the Black Book of Communism, but also I've written Holocaust in Rwanda and In the Killing Fields of Mozambique, which document my own personal research on two countries where people have been massacred in great numbers by Marxist and secular humanist regimes.